our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again and we come before you. Pray, O Lord, that the words that we hear are yours. Lord, I pray that a meditation of our hearts are yours and that you will move a mighty way amongst each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text I use today is in Matthew chapter 21, verses 17 through 33 through 44. Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 44. Please rise at the reading of God's word. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, digged a vine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive his reward. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, "What they will respect my son." But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him away, they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? And they said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in Scripture, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whomever the stone falls upon, it will grind him to powder." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. I use this text because it talks about an unjust stewards, and I wanted to address this Sunday as Stewardship Sunday in the fact that on the 18th we will be having our Harvest Fest or in-gathering. We have that in-gathering once a year, and that's to bring in the gifts into God's house and to give to God a portion of what he has given us. And if we were to look at Scripture, there are many different ways of doing it. But we could see that in the Old Testament times, tithing in and of itself was 10% of your gross income. And then besides that, they had temple taxes and other taxes and offerings, and it would usually come somewhere between 22 to 35% of a person's gross income. And in those days, of course, they did not have welfare, which we have here in the United States today. So the church took care of all these people as best as they could. And yet we see that we do an in-gathering, and many of the in-gathering or harvest fest, whichever way we want to call it, we find that many people will wait until that time to give their tithes and offerings to the Lord. And then many of them will wait until the end of the year to see how much money they have left or if it will help them on their taxes. But we see what Jesus is telling them here in this parable, along with several others in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament, talking about finances, we see that Jesus spoke many, many times about finances and about the riches of the world. And he says, where are your riches? Remember, you are a steward of what God has given you. And if we were to go back into Genesis chapter 1, we would find that God created man in his own image. And in his image, then, he breathed into him the breath of life. And he says, man is now one of us. And he has all the attributes we have, except he does not know good and evil. He only knows good because that's the way I have created him. I have planted in the Garden of Eden a tree with tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I have commanded him not to eat of that tree lest he dies. And he's talking about not only the physical death which we die, but also the spiritual death which we die. And so in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, we see we are already made stewards of God's domain. God had created the earth and the world and everything in it, and he says it is very, very good. When he created man, he says man will have dominion over everything that has been made. Therefore, Adam was the first steward of all God had made. And through Adam, we go down through the generations into us, and we then, every one of us, are stewards of what we have and what God has allowed us to have. We are stewards if we like it or not. And we have to take then what God has given us, and how do we treat it? Do we treat it as a gift from God, or do we treat it as if we own it and God, we're giving to God what we think he deserves? And we see that so many, many times also. So as this portion of scripture was given, and the vine dressers killed the servants that came, we see, as we read in the Old Testament and even today, that many Christians that have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior are being killed daily. And we can see that even in our own country. In the shooting in Oregon, for example, the man asked, he says, I want you to stand up if you're a Christian. And some of them stood up and they said they were Christians. And he says, you're going to meet your Jesus. And he shot them. And there was 9 of them that was killed, and I think there was 13 injured. And then he turns around and shoots himself. Now he meets his doom that he did not believe in God, and he did not have any dealings with wanting to have Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So he goes into perdition, as Judas Iscariot did, what Jesus said would happen to him. And we see that these other people that stood up and said they were Christians living for the Lord, that were shot and killed, they're all martyrs, and today their souls are under the altar in heaven, waiting for the fifth seal to be opened, where they're given white robes to, and they will serve the Lord in his kingdom with those white robes, because they died in the faith of Christ Jesus. Then that question comes to us as stewards. Are we willing to have Christ first? You know, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read that in Hebrews, and we see that also in Joshua and other portions of Scripture, that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he has told us that so very, very plainly. And we can trust in him above all things. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and I will add to you the things of this world that you need. And we see that so very, very plainly. I know of a businessman, and him and his wife used to go to Las Vegas. once a year. Then they started going twice a year, and they took their family with them. And they used to come back bragging how great they had made out in Las Vegas. One year they went, and they came back, and they sold about half of their business to pay their bills so they wouldn't go bankrupt because of what they had lost in Vegas. You do not enter Satan's den and Satan's world and think you're going to come out a winner. Satan will make you a slave to sin, and he will make you think that you're going to be better doing it his way. But God says, come unto me. You know, it's better for a little righteousness in your life than vast revenues of riches, it tells us in the Proverbs. And then God tells us also in the Proverbs chapter 3, he says, bring unto me of your possessions or your wealth. And then he also says, and then in your increases, in all that you get, you give me a portion of that. And in Malachi, of course, is one that we use an awful lot. And God tells the Israelites there, and he's telling us, you know, you have robbed me. And we say, how have we robbed you? And he says, because you have not brought in the tithes and offerings, do me. He says, bring in the tithes and offerings into the warehouse that my warehouses may be full and that I may have bread and food on my table. And then he says, try me and see if I won't pour out for you treasures that you cannot hold them all, and I will bless you. And so we see many people saying, I will give because I want a physical, financial blessing from God. And God may give it to you, but he may also give it to you in a different way, because we're stewards of God in time. We're stewards of God in kindness. We're stewards of God in hospitality. We're stewards of God in our finances, in our jobs, in our homes, wherever we are stewards of God, and that we must see that we live for him day by day, that he has first place in our lives, and that what we do is to show that he is there first. We are second. We hear the advertisements of pay yourself first on TV to make your 401ks great. But God says, give to me first, and I will take care of you after that. And I will see to it that you have enough to take care of yourself. Paul says, be contented with food and raiment for each day. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be have more than I need. He says, I know how to be shipwrecked, and I have been in the depths of the sea, and I have been left for dead 3 times. Yet, he says, I will serve the Lord God because he is first in my life. And so we see that as stewards, we must do that. Then we can see, too, Jesus tells the Pharisees of his day, he says, you know, this stone that the builders rejected with him. And we read that in John itself. He says, Jesus came unto his own, and his own did not know him and did not receive him. He came unto his own, and they rejected him. He came into the world that he created, and the world did not know him. And they were afraid of letting their darkness in their life out into the light so they could see what's in that darkness and start serving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he does the same thing for us today. As stewards, how are we handling the things God has given us? Are we taking them in stride, or are we saying, Lord, I will only give you back a little bit because I have to meet all my physical needs first? Yes, we do have certain needs we have to meet, but God says, I am first in your life, and I will see to it that all the other things you need are met. And you know, as I go through life in myself, I find so many times where God is lifting me up, and if I may wonder where the answers are, I find that as I trust in him and pray to him, he gives me the answers, many times not the way I would think, but he will give them to me in a better way and help me to be at peace with him in not only my physical body, but also my spiritual body, knowing that Christ is first and that he gave his life for me. Therefore, I want to give my all back to him and have him as my personal Lord and Savior. We are told also in Timothy that money is the root of much evil. And so we're talking about finances and stewardship, and we always seem to go back into the case of money. And yet, Jesus talked about the rich man that was going to build more barns because he had so many goods, he didn't know what to do with them. And he says, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And God says, tonight, your soul is required of you. Then who will all these things belong to? How will they handle it? Will they do it like you did? Are they as intelligent as you in doing these things? And if you give it all to them and they take it all, are they going to spend it the way you would? Or are they going to do it thinking, oh boy, I can have a good time now because I have this finances in place for a little while? God takes and helps us day by day as we trust in him. And as we give our heart and our life to him each day, he'll give us the words to speak. He'll help us to show the love of Christ out from us to those round about us. And if we are under temptations, God says, I make a way of escape for all temptations. And I will see that you are not tempted beyond what you're able to stand. And I pray then that we would turn to the Lord instead of to ourselves, trying to overcome these temptations, because God will help us through them. And if we trust in him above all things, he will help us as we go forward. And as we have Harvest Fest and as we have in-gathering, we realize it's to help pay the expenses of the church for the coming year and to do any maintenance or whatever might have to be made. This is why we have these once a year gatherings, if you want to call it that way. Yet we should be every day proclaiming Christ in our life as number one. And we should not have to wait till that one time of the year to take and serve him with what's already his, and he has blessed us so very, very much with it. Are we willing then to do as it tells us in Scripture, that we would be doing all things unto the Lord, whether in word or deed, that we would give God all the glory and that we would serve him in all gladness with it, serving him and saying, Lord, it's yours. Help me to do with it what you would have me to do and to serve you with it as you would have me to serve you, that he can bless us and that he can help us, not only in our daily life, but in our home lives, in all our possessions that we may need. And that we should realize then, too, that we would come to him in times of need, that we would see if we really need to purchase maybe some big items that we might want, but God may not want us to have them at that time. He tells us to watch how we take care of his gift that he has given us, and that in this world we see many temptations and we see many people that want different things, but they really can't afford them, so they borrow great sums of money and to buy them, and they put everything on payments, and they find that they short themselves even in their own daily lives, and they short the church, and they short their spiritual life because they are giving in to the ways of the world instead of the ways of God and letting God lead them and keep them in all things. So we see this, that we can reject the Word of God, we can reject Christ as our building stone, and we will receive the damnation in hell, or we can find that we go along and we stumble because we want things of the world which we may not need at the present time, or that he may not want us to have even before, because we want them rather than serving Christ. So we stumble at his word and we stumble at what he has told us. Or we can take and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And as we accept him, then he becomes first in our lives. And we say, Lord God, help me to not only read and study your word, but to praise you every day, and to not only sing praises to you or pray praises to you, but to be willing and thankful that for what you have given me today, and help me to use it to glorify you in your love and in your kindness and in your time. In your hospitality, Lord, use me as that person that I can touch others, that they too would be saved. You know, I remember some years ago, even in my own life, I was very outspoken, if you would put it that way. And I don't know if I am today, but I hope not. But maybe I am. But I used to speak before I thought. And it's quite a disciplinary action to learn to have God lead you and guide you in the words he wants you to say instead of what you might like to say, because you're showing God's love instead of your own thoughts sometimes. And to see what God has to say, and it changes our whole attitude towards one another. And we can see the love of God then shining out through those that have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because God is first, and they speak in love, in the love of Christ, to those that are around them. And in this love, God will not only help us serve him, but he will also help us keep his word, and he will help us to financially help him, or help his cause in this neighborhood and in this community and throughout the world. We've seen this morning on the radio, there was four high school students in California that were arrested, and they had drawn out plans to attack their high school, and they had many students that they were going to kill and do like the one in Oregon. And we see that it was tipped off to the authorities, and they found out about it ahead of time, so they stopped it. These things are happening more and more because these people are not looking to Christ. They're looking at the world and at themselves. They're not saying, Lord, help us. God has been taken out of the schools, and we see that they want to take God out of the government. And we see that the more that they take God out of, the more trouble we get into, because Satan then has his own full run. Let's pray for our people and pray that God will be allowed back and into the schools and into the lives of each one. It is getting much more serious. And in order to do this, we have to be good stewards of what God has given us. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Help us, O Lord, that we will build on you, and that we will keep you in first place in our lives, that you are that cornerstone in which we want to build on and we want to live on. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 484.